This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Coming up on DTNS, why increased video viewing is not leading to increased income for video creators. Amazon tries to improve its overwhelmed grocery delivery service. And has the progressive web app's time finally come? Probably not. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, April 13th, 2020 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
Also in Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
And I'm the show. I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Where'd you go?
Sorry.
Come back, almost Roger.
Lost you. Almost
all right. Lost you. He's like, it was like Back to the Future. He just started to fade away. We were just fixing Sarah's input problems. If you want to do this little podcast troubleshooting, we were doing it live on Good Day Internet. Become a member and get that extended show at patreon.com/DTNS. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Bloomberg sources tell Mark Gurman and Debbie Wu that the successors of the iPhone 11 Pro and Pro Max, which are scheduled for the fall, will feature flat stainless steel edges and sharply rounded corners, a lot like the current design of the iPad Pro, plus a LiDAR camera and reduced front notch. Apple's also reportedly working on a lower-priced HomePod, about half the size of the original, for Q2 of this year. The rumored Apple Tags for wireless tracking could also be released this year and be bundled with an Apple-designed leather sleeve and keychain.
Quibi CEO Meg Whitman announced that the short-form streaming service app had 1.7 million downloads in its first week. Whitman also said that the service sold out its advertising slate for its first year and that the company is accelerating plans to let users cast content to larger screens.
Instagram users report Instagram's rolling out the ability to view live streams on the web. Remember, we got DMs on the web with Instagram last week. There's support for two-person streams with comments in a separate pane from the video. Publishing live streams is still mobile only, though. Instagram also updated its IGTV app with featured creators now shown at the top, a Discover tab to surface new and relevant content, and a hands-free recording mode. Don't drop your phone, though.
High demand for PCs couldn't overcome supply chain issues, with Canalys estimating that PC shipments in Q1 fell 8% on the year, with an estimated 53.7 million units shipped. Lenovo, HP, Dell, Apple, and Acer remained the top five PC vendors, with only Dell growing shipments by 1.1% on the year. Apple saw the biggest shipment decline with 21%.
Oh, hi, it's me. Apple launched a site that allows hospitals, healthcare providers, and businesses to register as COVID-19 testing locations. Now, after review, the site will be added to Apple Maps. Testing locations will include the name, healthcare provider, and if it's a drive-up location, and if a doctor's referral is required.
IBM announced it will release a training course for the COBOL programming language this week, as well as set up a forum to match proficient programmers with organizations in need. The move comes because, of course, several U.S. states use COBOL-based systems for their unemployment processing and have struggled to find expertise to update the systems to meet demand caused by the unprecedented number of unemployment applications.
Yikes. Motorola announced it will hold a flagship launch event, E-vent, get it? On April 22nd at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. A teaser video posted on Twitter shows a device with a sharply curved screen edge. That's all the rage.
Eastern Time, right? E-vent.
Okay. No.
Let's talk about Amazon, Lamar.
Yeah, since I'm here now, let's talk about that. Amazon announced it will resume allowing third-party sellers to store some non-essential items at Amazon warehouses later this week, but that these will be limited by quantity to enable us to continue prioritizing products and protecting employees. That's Amazon's quote there. Also, Amazon announced that as of April 13th, which is today, new customers of its grocery delivery service will be put on a waiting list to get access. The company also plans to set up a system for existing customers to get delivery slots on a first-requested, first-assigned basis. Thank God. So in other words, you can join a queue rather than trying to guess when slots will open up. Amazon says online order capacity has increased more than 60% during the COVID-19 outbreak, and that it will hire an additional 75,000 workers to meet overall demand and will offer higher pay. Yes, these delivery slots are so needed because I am tired of being up at 3 a.m. or starting at 12, then at 2, then at 3, trying to find a delivery slot, hoping I can get one later in the week. And I have tried for the last 2 weeks, have not been able to get groceries on Amazon. I was successful the first week, not so successful after that. So, and here's another thing they do when you, if something goes out of stock, they take it out your cart. And so I don't remember what I ordered when it's time. They just rip it out your cart. So I'm glad they're having this little whole list, and we'll be able to, you know, get our groceries in a timely fashion.
Yeah, the first time you go to your cart, it tells you what it took out. But if you don't notice that first time, you never see it again.
Absolutely.
It's hard to believe that the queue, and maybe just because demand wasn't high enough that it was necessary, the queue didn't already exist, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Okay, we've got a finite amount of slots. They all get full, and then, you know, you just whack-a-mole at 3 a.m. hoping that your deliveries work. It's like, yes, queues exist for a reason. This makes a lot of sense.
I think that points out just where we've come. Amazon Prime Fresh was overcapacitated. In other words, there was no assumption that they would ever not have delivery slots because they had so many delivery slots prepared beyond what their expected demand would be. And so what they were saying was, get your groceries right now. They still say that on some of their advertisers. Get your groceries within hours. That was the promise. And what happened is we had so much demand that Amazon's estimation of overcapacity became woefully under capacity, and they had never set up, they had never imagined a world in which people would order a Prime Fresh at such levels that they would have to deal with not having slots. So they had never engineered that part of the system, apparently.
Yeah, and it's weird because they dropped the fee, right? Late last year?
I think so,
this year.
Yeah. Not that long ago, they dropped the fee. That's right.
They dropped the fee. So I'm with Sarah. I would think that they would have anticipated some kind of surge because of dropping a $15 fee, and they just didn't anticipate it.
I bet they anticipated
just over
a surge
time, offering a service that maybe catches on slowly, but eventually, you know, is not going to have enough slots for demand.
I can't emphasize this enough. Amazon was ready for a surge, and they always had more slots than they ever expected they would need. That's just the uniqueness of this situation, is that Amazon, who's really good at this kind of thing, didn't anticipate what was going to happen at all. And it is unanticipated. Also want to point out that the Amazon warehouses allowing some limited quantities of non-essential back into their warehouse, that's third parties who ship things to Amazon so that Amazon can ship them for them, which is going to be a huge boon for a lot of local businesses who relied on that for their shipping.
Yeah. A lot of them complained about this.
Yeah. And so being able to allow them back in is going to be good for some small businesses out there as well.
So no more May 4th deliveries times that I'm getting right now?
I mean, well, I wouldn't say no.
Not out of the woods just yet. This might be good news, depending on how you like your web apps to work. The lead of Google's Chrome OS team, Dominic Ng, confirms that Google is starting to roll out progressive web apps as the default download for some apps in the Google Play Store on Chrome OS, including Twitter and YouTube TV. Web apps are websites that look and feel like apps, but they can still work when offline, so they're advantageous in that way. They're generally also faster, smaller, and they use less battery life. Those web apps appear alongside Android apps in the app tray. They can display push notifications, and they can be uninstalled through the Play Store as well.
Man, I've been pushing that progressive web app gospel for years now, because it's a universal standard. It can run across platforms, and it's only gotten better. The original web apps that were out, say 2007 or so, were pretty limited. Although companies like the Financial Times took good advantage of them, now they have so much advantage that they can be treated just like apps, and you would never know it's not a normal app. That I'm hopeful that if this works for Chrome OS, maybe Google just starts bringing that over to Android, and suddenly we've got a cross-platform app store that could run on multiple platforms, not just on Google OSs.
Yeah, is the wish here that because I know you mentioned you love these kind of apps. Is the wish here that a developer can develop once and then it go across iOS and Chrome OS? And
I mean, that is the holy grail, right? Like, everybody's trying to do it. Apple, Microsoft, Google, they're all trying to say, oh, just develop on our platform and then we can publish to multiples, but that still involves conversion. And whereas a progressive web app, theoretically anyway, can be written for the web and then just work any place that supports progressive web apps.
Like web apps when the iPhone came out?
They were much simpler back then, but
much
simpler. Exactly.
Yeah.
Apple followed up with The Verge on more details regarding the Google Apple Track and Trace API that we mentioned on Friday. It will consider the length of time, so not just where it was. So in other words, the way it was doing it, it exchanges anonymous IDs, and then you can find out if that ID ever is tested positive for the virus and know whether you need to take action yourself. But one of the problems with Bluetooth is it's 30 to 40 feet, and so it's not great at positioning. Apple says it's going to do things to mitigate that. One of them is a time limit of possibly 5 minutes, so that the two phones need to be near each other long enough to say, okay, they were having an interaction. They just weren't. One of them was in a car and one was on a bike, and they passed each other on the street. The UK Health Secretary Matt Hancock confirmed the National Health Service is developing a mobile app to warn of COVID-19 contacts itself. Users could self-report, which would send a yellow alert. A lot of people criticize that, because if you're self-reporting, you may not be right. But it only sends a yellow alert. An official diagnosis would be required to send a red alert. And the health service is saying that having the ability to warn faster makes it worth having that yellow alert functionality. They are going to work with the Google Apple API now that they know it exists. They were working on this before they even knew it existed. And in related news, Jason Bay, the senior director of Singapore's Government Digital Services Agency, wrote about his country's experience with Trace Together. It's a contact tracing app that uses Bluetooth that Singapore released in March. It's open sourced. It's open platform, so others can use it. I believe Apple and Google drew on it a little bit in designing theirs, although they're using their own system. Bay says that any such system, in their experience so far in Singapore, is not ready to replace manual contact tracing. That's having an interview and saying, who have you been around? Where have you been? Let's try to contact all the people you've been in touch with. That's what Ariel Waldman was recommending on Thursday's show. Bay wrote, a human out of the loop system will certainly yield better results than having no system at all. But where a competent human in the loop system with sufficient capacity exists, we caution against an over-reliance on technology. So basically what Bay is saying is this could be supplemental to a manual tracing system that involves human interviews, and it can help pick up the slack if that kind of system's getting overwhelmed. But you shouldn't rely on it as the only way to diagnose people and check people.
Now, I have a really probably terrible thought about this, but I know it's all going to be voluntary, right? We talked about this before the show, voluntary download. Mm-hmm. I personally would want this to be mandatory, but I realize that you would then create a scarlet letters type of situation. Not, I don't think that's the right one, where you're marking people.
Yeah.
You know, and who will want to, because here's my thought. Who wants to, in a society that looks down on you, if you have this right now and it's starting to happen, you know, who
but
wants
this
to
is anonymous. So push it out to say, I've been diagnosed positive, no one knows who you are.
But if they have to contact Trace,
no, the way it works is these numbers are just out there saying you were near this number. There's multiple numbers per phone, so you can't trace it back to which phone. And then you say, if I'm diagnosed, okay, tell people who's got these numbers from my phone that they were near someone who was diagnosed, but those numbers can't be traced back to the individual.
I think, Lamar, you do make a good point, though. First of all, people are suspicious. You know, the whole, you know, technology, even if it works as advertised, you're going to get people being like, yeah, but you're collecting my data. You must be. And then there's also this kind of stigma of like, I'm sick. You're assuming that everyone wants to be as responsible as possible. And most people do. Not everybody does, though. And so it's like there's some convincing that has to happen where it's like, you can be part of the solution. Your community will open up this much sooner if you help. And that is, you know, it's kind of a PR experiment, too.
Yeah, I highly recommend people go back and listen to Thursday's show when we talked about a similar situation with MIT. Friday's show, read up on this, because this is protecting anonymity very strongly. It would be incredibly difficult to trace back this to a person, because it's basically like, silently, I'm out there sending out numbers to phones, and the phones just know they're getting numbers. They don't know what phone it's coming from. Does that help you make sense of it, Lamar?
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I guess I was just thinking of the – there has to be somebody, some company, some computer that's ultimately –
it's all done on the phone. So once okay. I'm diagnosed positive, I say, okay, tell everybody who got these – point out that these numbers are now associated with someone who was diagnosed positive. That goes out into the system, and every phone gets that information and it compares it to its own information. That information is also all cryptographically hashed. So okay. You're not even seeing the actual numbers. And then you compare the hashes and say, oh, yep, I've got a hash for that same number. Okay, good. Now I know. But it's all done on your phone.
And you have to rely on the person, of course, self-reporting. That's the...
You have to rely... Well, in the UK one, they're allowing self-reporting at the yellow alert level. In the Apple Google one, a healthcare professional would be the one who says, all right, you have been officially diagnosed.
I see. That's what I was trying to get at.
And we will say you can get... We will give you a code that allows you to push out the positive diagnosis. And you can't do that without their...
But they can still decline to do that.
You can decline to use the app at all. Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. On the same subject, sort of, with COVID-19, Verizon created a search engine for the COVID-19 open research data set, CORD-19, that uses the open source big data framework VESPA to combine text and structured search with semantic similarity using a machine learning model trained for searching scientific text. It pulls from CORD-19, which is updated weekly from peer-reviewed publications and archival services. Now, this should help researchers find and create new insights faster. VESPA had previously been used for article recommendations, user personalization, and ad targeting. Verizon is making this engine available by API and posted the code on GitHub for organizations to run privately. So, you know, obviously we hear Verizon's like, oh no, my data. But I like that they're using something that is, you know, already there and can just kind of hacking it to work for, you know, the COVID-19 benefit. I see no problem with it, but I get how some would be scared just hearing Verizon's name involved with this.
It also really gives you a sense of how many, you know, scientific research projects are happening all the time that are good to put into some pool for people to, you know, glean insight from. But they're in so many places and there's so much of it that it's, you know, at sometimes impossible task. And the whole idea of having machine learning to be able to more easily extract the stuff that you're looking for without even knowing if it exists or where it might be is really helpful.
Yeah, because there's more research done at any one time than any one person can keep track of, even if you're searching for keywords. So the beauty of this is the same technology that's able to tell if you want black shoes advertised at you can go look at the debate and go like, oh, these are the kinds of papers that seem close to what you're researching here. Check these out. And that's incredibly helpful.
Love it.
Absolutely. Yep.
The U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in 10 cases by telephone conference with a live audio stream available to the public. The cases were originally postponed last month and will be heard over 6 days from May 4th through May 13th. Justices and counsel will all participate remotely to maintain physical distancing. And while recordings of oral arguments are available, this is the first time a live stream will be available to everyone.
This is kind of similar to what we were just talking about, like taking something that was totally possible before and because of current situations, making something unprecedented happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to this telephone conference. That sounds, you know, really high tech and awesome.
So,
but
that's so Supreme Court. We will be advancing into the future with a telephone conference.
It's telephony. Yeah.
Isn't one of the first cases going to be Google versus Oracle?
It's not.
Apple.
That is on the docket that would have been on this session, but it is not listed as being one of the sessions that will be telephoned.
Okay. Well, which company is it? Is Apple versus Oracle?
No, it's Google versus Oracle. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
But that is not on the docket for this one, even though it could have been if this had not had to be delayed. Mm-hmm. So we're not sure when that case will be assigned.
Gotcha. It's going to be a juicy one to listen to.
It'll be fun for everyone to try to identify your favorite Supreme Court justice by their voice.
Well, and now I understand the physical distancing and the fact that the need for that to happen kind of turned into, well, and then we can have an audio stream. Will we have audio streams of all cases from here on out?
If it works well, I would.
Who is going to be like, no, that's something that shouldn't be offered anymore. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's a case by case, hardy har. But yeah, if this is the way it's going to be going forward, particularly for art, you know, if we follow cases all the time on this show or just for personal interest. I think that's great to have a little bit more access to what's going on behind the scenes.
But still no cameras. They're not using Zoom. They're not going to see them on. Doing, you know,
so no kitty cat walking past.
Yeah, no lifting Q-tips
on a desk.
Nothing.
Sad.
If you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
We mentioned last week that SimilarWeb reported YouTube website traffic was up 15%, although it was down like 4.5% on the app. It was up 15% on the web. And generally, video traffic has been up as people tune in during COVID-19 lockdowns. But that doesn't mean creators are seeing a lift in income or in revenue. That's because rates company pays for ads are dropping on video. A survey from the Interactive Advertising Bureau in late March showed that 70% of respondents said they had either adjusted or paused their previously planned ad spending. Fewer people are making money. Fewer businesses are operating. So there's fewer reasons to advertise. And there's also a glut of supply. Digital ad spending is down by a third, according to the IAB. Hank Green tweeted in late March that views across the channels he runs were up 5%, while CPMs were down 30%. Interestingly, that's because a lot of creators, YouTubers included, are making more content right now, which increases the inventory for the remaining people who do want to buy ads, which then drives down the cost because there's not a scarcity of ad slots. There's tons of ad slots out there. IAB data suggested that the spending probably won't bounce back fully this year. They're estimating we would get back to about 88% of planned spending by Q4. And we wouldn't hit where we would have been otherwise until 2021. And of course, Lamar, you run a YouTube channel. So does this jive with what you're seeing on your personal metrics?
Yes. The money's gone.
I'm sorry. We should have talked about this before we brought it up.
Yeah,
it's a sore spot.
No, it's funny because it kind of hits close to home, right? But seriously, just to keep it in some perspective, January through March, traditionally, pre-pandemic, it's always terrible on YouTube. It's always down 50% to 60% and ad revenue. So that's kind of respected. We plan for that when you have the heavy season between October and December. So that's respected. I'm more interested in seeing what's going to happen in the second quarter, April through June, and so on, because the first ads are already pre-bought, right? So, we know companies are going to be pulling ads now. I mean, even this month, I took a look at my earnings, and they're about right. I would say 20-30% decrease over a year ago is about, the article pretty much nailed it for that. So views are slightly up, but the inventory, which makes sense, and as far as actual brand deals as well, which come outside of YouTube most of the times, those are hard to come by right now as well. It makes sense for them to pull. Am I concerned about it? Of course. I mean, that's how I make my living. I wasn't as smart as you, Tom, to, create a thing some years ago.
Smart where, or dumb luck. I don't know.
Well, you did it. There's obviously concern, cause you're really competing for ad dollars with everybody now. I mean, the hope is, digital things still need advertising, video games, services. HBO Max is going to be coming out. I'm sure they're going to do a lot of campaigns. So, the hope is, it might be lower money. And so we just may have to increase content, which, as the article said, though, increase the content actually drives down the price.
Example of it makes sense locally for you to be like, oh, well, if I increase the content, then I have a better chance of getting ads. But if everybody's doing it, that drives down the price of the ads. And then everybody has to increase more content. And it just goes out of hand like that.
Yeah. So I'm planning on cutting a lot of people's cable, that I know are creators, so that I can have priority.
I'm industrial espionage, right?
Yeah. Safe distance, 6 feet.
Right.
6 feet. Yeah.
Very long shears.
Exactly. So, yeah, but seriously, there's definitely concern. There's people who are worse off. It's hard for me to, I get down on it sometimes, but it's hard for me to really complain about that when, I get to kind of do this.
Everything's relative, right? Yeah, right. Absolutely. This is an example of the uncertainty going on because we have businesses that are paused, which means they're not going to spend on advertising, which means that advertising money doesn't go to a creator, which means that creator doesn't spend money on something else that they would have spent among, and it all spirals out. Now, the question is, when the economy gets going again, will people be able to pick back up and say, okay, that was hard to get through, but we got through it and we'll start spending the ads again? Not even to mention the wider economy spending on all kinds of things. Or will it take a while? And that's what IAB is saying, is it's probably going to take a while because even if it's only been paused for a couple of months, that's a lot of pieces to pick up for a lot of different companies.
Right. To try to catch up on. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I'm hopeful. I was very hopeful to see, Apple still roll out an iPad and still roll out a MacBook,
Yes. Thank goodness Apple is still able to produce things.
It's just people were pre-ordering them. People still want stuff during this time. We're not on
to spend on it, then I suppose that's good, right? Because then that money gets spent and then the company can spend that money on other things, and if everybody stops spending, then nobody's going to make any money.
So I think spending is important. So yes, audience, please spend, please support
particularly
me
on Lamar's channel.
I don't have a Patreon, unlike this amazing guy here who figured it out years ago.
You could have one. I'm just saying.
I could.
I know we mentioned the Instagram Live thing, and I know you're kind of a fan of that. Before we move off of this, any thoughts on doing diversifying your platform?
Yeah. So Sarah mentioned about the IGTV, which is kind of like a mini YouTube within Instagram. I've always been really bullish on it, really excited about using that. And right now it doesn't have monetization. But I think that's why it's important to try to get on it now. So when they do have it, you're right there. So they're featuring creators right now. But I love the program. I love the mobility of it and the ease of it. And I think diversification right now is seriously important. You know, there's people our age and higher who are jumping on TikTok because I don't know, it's cringy, but it's working. So
it's there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you've been touting IGTV since it launched, Lamar. I remember, in fact, you were a guest right after it launched and you were like, this is really cool. People should pay attention to this. And I know Instagram they were sort of in that let's just see what works stage at first. And then we're like, it's kind of getting buried among all the other stuff that people visit Instagram for. Let's give it its own place. And now it's like, well, let's give it a little bit more of a redesign so people can discover more creators. So it seems like there is a process that the company figuring out is working better, because I agree with you. It doesn't seem to get the attention it deserves. And maybe it's just because I'm not following the right creators, but it's a very cool platform that seems underused.
Absolutely. I need to put more content on there and exclusive. I think, yeah, you know, instead of just dumping stuff that I put on YouTube over there, just has some exclusivity. It's just a fun platform. And I expect to see some of your fun dances, Sarah, on there.
Oh, yes.
Very soon. So.
I'll get right on that. Yeah, my fun dances typically happen with a VR headset on my head. So they're really fun these days. I don't look weird at all. Otis, the dog, is, you know, he's worried about me. Let's just put it that way. Oh. You can join in our conversation in our Discord. Whether you're worried or not, we'll take any conversation that you'd like to participate in with your DTNS peers. Join by linking to a Patreon account at patreon.com/DTNS.
I just posted to TikTok. Let's check out the mailbag.
Wow. Okay.
I saw you making it.
That was a bit of a pivot. Russell and Avila and 2020 South Michigan Ev and a few other folks all really liked Science Week last week. That was DTNS's, you know, it was a week of science. We had all sorts of tech news, but we focused a lot on the science angles of news that was current and what our illustrious guests brought to the table. Russell said, just wanted to let you know I loved Science Week. Could envision a robotics week, maybe an IoT week. Really liked it. Avila said, Science Week was wonderful. I hope it becomes an annual or maybe more often event. And Michigan said, Riley Black, fantastic guest. More, please. We will absolutely have her back.
I love Science Week myself. I watched all of it. It was great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. No, yeah. We definitely want to do this again, like Russell says, with other topics and everything. So I'm so glad everybody liked it.
We have a Lamar Week, too. You know, just like
we'll have guests Lamar on to talk time. About you.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I also wanted to give
all the different aspects of it.
I wanted to give Chris a shout out for coining a term that might be in use already, but I had not heard of it before. Chris, he was a little bait and switch. He wrote an email and said, I was very disappointed not to have a new GDI show up in my podcaster yesterday. Then I realized it was Saturday. How the days merged together. Happy Blur's Day. Happy Blur's Day to you too, Chris.
Happy Blur's Day, Chris. And remember,
that's a great way to put it.
Five Blur's Days out of the week, there is a new GDI. So sorry for the confusion.
Shout out to our patrons at our master and grandmaster levels, including Ken Hayes, Brad Schick, and Paul Boyer. Also, thanks to Lamar Wilson. It's not Lamar week, but we're getting there.
Yeah, one I don't want to leave.
Well, I don't want to leave. You don't have to.
Okay, I'm going to stay here for a while because this is nice.
Stay here for a while, but when you do leave eventually, and again, no pressure, maybe never, where can folks find you outside of this?
Yeah, well, you can find me on youtube.com/Lamar Wilson, where I am still posting unboxings and maybe some gameplay or just anything that's new. Matter of fact, this week, I'll be testing out some weird cereals because why not? You all need content. I'm bored. Let's do this.
Nice.
Okay.
We have been asking folks to send us tips for cool things, cool creators, cool projects going on around the internet. I've been mentioning some of my favorite creators doing things. And we got one about the increase in Zoom meetings. You know, whatever you think of Zoom, a lot of people are using it. Adam Kilborn wanted to give back by offering free virtual backgrounds for the next few weeks. A Sunday night, he uploaded a new set for the week, week 2 of 4. The latest posts in his blog have the backgrounds pounds and instructions for downloading and installing Zoom. Adam is a photographer, so if you want some really cool artwork to show behind you, like aquariums or public art, things like that, they're really high quality photos, and you can get them at adamkilbourne.com/blog. That's KILBOURNE.com. Adam says, I know about Zoom's less than stellar security, thanks to your show, but it's still being used, so why not add some art to it if you have to use it? Thank you, Adam.
I want to apologize for laughing. I thought you said offering free back rubs, and I lost it. Adam, I'm like, well, you know, virtual back rubs.
Adam is only giving you backgrounds.
Yeah, I'll take a virtual back rub, though. You know, just, you know, call me.
You know, you can do those you can do those Zoom video backgrounds. So you could have like a set of hands appearing to give you a back rub just to like freak out your coworkers.
Right. I'm going to try that.
Like a political.
Yeah, it's probably an HR situation. Don't do this, actually, now that I've thought it through.
You can always support our show at any level at dailytechnewsshow.com/Patreon.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. Questions, comments, we take it all. We're also live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 20:30 UTC. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Patrick Beja has the day off tomorrow, but we'll have a Patrick for you, Patrick Norton. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I like Patrick.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.